This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. You are in the Escape Pod on this absolutely stunning Melbourne day.
Can you believe it? What a gorgeous day. It's a perler, Russ. It's
my goodness, perler. Listen to those voices, everybody. We have Russ Masterton, Mark Adams and Joe Pryor.
Get out of town. We're all here for a change.
What's going on?
It's not a special occasion.
Yes.
It's not only the Three Musketeers, but this is Melbourne's most uplifting music mix on this station. Did we know that?
Yes, we did. Have we won an award or something?
No, we haven't.
Well, we have today. I feel uplifted just hearing that.
Thrilled to hear it. And the world of travel hasn't changed much in the last 7 days. Joe, what news things have happened?
Now, you've got me there. What has happened this week?
Well, and usually it's a bad story, so it's quite...
We've been pretty blessed recently.
Yeah,
there's
we have.
No horror stories around the world.
And I'm grateful
that.
For that.
Yeah, we are.
Grateful.
You know, I can talk about travel bargains later in the rant, but at the moment, early birds are on, so you should all be going crazy and booking for 2017.
It's all got good stuff, but we've got a special guest
here today.
And who is going to talk to us about something that's you might only be getting on public transport to get to, but it's a very, very interesting project. Andrew from FTM Shed. Andrew, welcome to Escape Pod today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Andrew, what is the
What's
Shed?
Happening?
Yeah.
Well, the Shed is a support group for trans and gender diverse men, masculine peoples. So that's what we do. And I guess within our own circles, we're quite well known. But the trans and gender diverse community can be feeling quite isolated as individuals around just generally in our own place. And I was thinking as I coming in about your travel show, and I thought in some ways it's like being overseas or something in a country you're not used to, and you can feel quite foreign. And this, don't get me wrong, every trans and gender diverse person has a different experience of life, but quite often you can feel quite isolated and quite lonely within your own home place.
Yeah, of course. So what does the Shed do to help people build relationships with people who are in their community when, of course, there's distance between each of you?
That's right. So the Shed has a Facebook group so that people can talk no matter where their location is and connect with other trans men and gender diverse peeps. But we also have support groups so that people come together socially and meet. But what I actually come on to talk about today was Movember Foundation have recognised trans and gender diverse men as men, which I know that, I mean...
My well goodness, Andrew. Good God. Are you sure we're in the right country?
I know.
Do you mean they've finally got there?
To us, this is really huge, right?
Yeah.
This is the most exciting news we could tell you all week, actually.
Yeah.
And
it's great news.
It's really, really awesome in that they've been running a program, a grant situation for looking at isolated populations of men and chose to support us and say that we are in that way acknowledge us as men and say, look, here's some money to actually look at what you can do to help people be a little less isolated and feel more connected.
Talk to the listeners about what that means, because not everybody has the experience and has close friends who have gone through the trans issues.
Well, it's really interesting.
How does that resound with your members?
Yeah, for instance, we started doing a survey monkey just to see how people relate and what they do and what they don't do at the minute and when they like to meet and what they'd like to do and all this sort of stuff to see if we can better do what we do. And one of the things was, say you want to go for a coffee, you think, it'd be great to see some people like me. I'll go for a coffee or I'll go to a social thing. And we have members checking themselves whether they'll come, because if they're in a group of trans people, maybe they'll be noticed by all the world around them. And I thought, you know, my brother went to travel in Turkey And the listeners can't see me, but, you know, I'm really white. And my brother is Swedish background and has got really blonde hair. And his girl at the time, there was the same really blonde hair. And he's in Turkey, right? And there's no one else there with blonde hair. It's like this just stand out, like, really badly. Now, if you're female and you've got blonde hair and you're in traveling in Turkey, and you suddenly
you cover up. That's what you do, Andrew.
Well, yeah, that's the first hint. But you're thinking, and there's five others I know that are here, and we'd all like to catch up for a coffee. Well, you're wondering where you'll meet. You start thinking already, where's a safe place to go? What's, you know, where will people not see us? And if you haven't got a guy with you and all these sorts of things, you begin to start to look around your safety. And that's what it's like for trans people to think, if we're going to go out in a group, are we going to be noticed? Will we be safe? So that in itself becomes a problem to actually getting people to meet up. So it's interesting, and as you say, if you did do that and you'd be worried about going first to see the other five people with blonde hair in Turkey, well, half of them, when you go, half of them might actually be covered up. They might be veiled up, and it mightn't be the horrible experience you thought it was going to be. But when you're sitting at home deciding whether you're going to meet up with someone, it can be quite a thing.
So talk us through that anxiety of living through the eyes of a trans person, because it's not like everybody else who just thinks they're going to be fine, because it's a even with a lot of gay or lesbian people who, you know, for want of a better word, passing as straight, there is a level of anxiety that you're going to be outed, or you're going to be confronted with someone who has very strong opinions about your humanity, and it's quite often based on their mythology. So walk us through why that's important for a trans person.
Well, trans people, you've got all the old cliches, and none of them are true, and I'll get, you know, sort of some people's backs up already, but, you know, we live in a binary world, and you identified at birth as a gender, and that is based on your body. So without going too far, as soon as you've gone through puberty, that body begins to change, and it isn't necessarily in line with what you want, and that basically means you're trans. That's it in a nutshell, in an easy explanation.
Yeah.
So you have an outward thing that you can't hide. It's not like you can just pretend to be straight. You are obvious at some point in transition. You are obvious that
something is up. And if you're trying to hide it, you're lying to your own humanity.
Well, yeah, so that's what sort of goes on for a little bit with all of us. You know, there's this, no one, I don't think there's a single person who's born thinking, oh, what, I'd love to be trans. You know, that'd be just so good.
That's true.
It's not that we're not proud and, you know, and all that sort of thing, but it can be a real challenge to accept yourself.
So when you go out now, do you feel safe in our community?
Oh, yeah, most of the time I do. But I do check where I am, and it's getting better every day, just like it is for all of us. In many ways, things are getting better. But I think that there's it's like the marriage equality situation, that as more and more people get on board with it, those that are opposed get more under pressure, because they realise that, oh, shivers, this might actually happen, you know, and they get more vigilant to hate you or to take opposition.
Well, the traditional oppressor is losing their ability to oppress.
Yes, so they become more dangerous, in fact, as you get more accepted. And I suppose it's the same in the trans world, that there are elements of gay and lesbian, there are elements of cis and straight and heteronormative community that don't like us, so they get on the up and up. But that's a negative way to look at it, because there are a lot more good spaces to go. Like, as a trans man, there wasn't so many years ago that you really couldn't go into an all-male venue and feel safe, as in the gay world.
Yes.
And
has that changed?
Now you're pretty well
It's a bit like being a woman, really. So, talking of things...
Oops, reality.
Sorry to drop that one.
We don't get paid
equally yet.
You get paid in girl money.
We're allowed to go in, but we don't get paid. So, what's happening? You've got the money from November, and so what's going on?
Exactly.
How can people get involved? Things are ramping up again. Please tell us all about the key dates and
places. The key dates and things and what's going on. So we've had our Survey Monkey, and now what we want to do is get some guys in a room together and talk in a bit more depth about what works for them and what doesn't work for them and what the barriers are and what how they connect well in any other area of their life. Do they like sport? Are they in a...
Cooking
club. Are they in an art group? How does that...
Motorbikes.
...group talk to them? How do they connect? What happens there? So that we can try and overlap that and put it into our own community and work better. So there are some dates. There are some focus groups, if you like. We've got one on Wednesday night at 7:30. There's another one on the 2nd of October and one on the 15th of October that people can get into. And we're known as F2M Shed, so f2mshed.com.au is a website and they can register on there.
So what was the Facebook as well?
Yeah, the Facebook group exists, and the best way into it, if you're not in it already, is to call is to catch us on the website.
Yeah,
because it's a secret Facebook group for all the reasons.
We've just
been discussing because people who are new coming out don't want it actually necessarily popping up on their profile in their news feeds. Yeah. That
and is it a busy page?
We started 3 years ago, and we've now got 433 members.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah.
So it's good, yeah.
So just refresh us on the FTM Shed. Just take us through the principle and what's going on, the contact details again, because somebody's out there struggling to find a BIC or a Kilometrico that works.
Yes, FTMShed.com.au is the website.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to get in touch with us and have a look at the website. It gives an overview of what we do, but we are a support group that does meet in face-to-face and has got digital support as well. So
your meetings, are they all in Melbourne or are they...
They currently
can be regional as well.
They've currently been in Melbourne. We've had some camping trips and things, and we try and get the camping trips around different areas.
Joe's not a camper. So, you know,
the only stars she sleeps under are five.
That's right.
So we try and use different areas of the state so that we can get out into the regional areas and go for a coffee with people in the country and things like that as well. So
it must be trans men in Aubrey-Wodonga, Shepparton, everywhere.
Yes. The latest numbers in Aubrey-Wodonga are huge. Like, I don't know, there's a cluster over there. It's absolutely
happening. Those farming the border. Those farm boys are all a-changing, aren't they?
It's absolutely happening out there in the regional Victoria. So,
And when you get together, you have fun, obviously.
Oh, look, it's absolutely huge. It's fabulous. It's one of those things, too, that's a real dilemma because I started the Shed, as I said, 3 years ago, and the first year of meetings I actually felt ill. And I don't often say this, but it's a double-edged sword. You get in a group of trans guys and until you get acclimatised to it, it actually can make you really dysphoric because you're looking in a mirror at yourself and all day long you don't think of yourself as trans. You just think, oh, yeah, I'm going around my life and I'm a guy and that's fine. And then suddenly you're in a whole room of people like you and it's like, oh, gosh.
Does it trigger every anxiety?
It can. So we absolutely acknowledge this. And for anyone listening out there thinking, oh, wow, I don't know that I could cope with it, come along, just get a laugh, have a joke. We use humour a lot to
And
just
you say
get
that you've got food provided and transport costs. Does that also include maybe a Valium tablet?
Well, the way we were covering...
I just like to be practical, Andrew, that's all.
A cup of tea and a bex.
Well, there is that component of discussion, I suppose, do we self-medicate? And are we having a drink or two? And we try and stay away from the alcohol and the drugs in our groups because, one, we've all ages and two because there's a lot of guys with issues on that area and they want
addiction
to stay
issues.
Away from it, you know, that they want to be able to meet up and not have that in, as an additional challenge. But it's a little credit card we're going to be getting, you know, that's loaded with some money and they can actually buy their own whatever they like with it or contribute to costs because some of the guys from regional Victoria, for instance, are paying like $50 a train ticket to get down to a meeting.
Well, that was my next question, so is about affordability. And people with trans, trans people quite often have...
not as well employed.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's that. We to keep that as not a barrier, we have funding to provide assistance getting to the meeting and also a bit of food and enjoy ourselves while we're there.
Fantastic. Just wrap up with those details again and the dates.
The ftmshed.com.au will have the dates on it if you're missing them. But this Wednesday, the 21st of September, there's Sunday the 2nd of October and Saturday the 15th of October.
Fantastic.
Are options at the moment.
We need you back on the show again.
Yeah, we need you for a whole hour.
Well, we
to
need
talk
to
about
find
many
out
different issues.
What happened, I think, after the 21st of September.
Yeah, welcome to come back. And yeah, we could.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we
that
could.
Would would be really nice to have like an after party show.
Yeah,
after
could you get a couple of the other guys to come on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Mm.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and we can tell you our travel stories.
Excellent.
We're doing the escape pod.
Look, anytime you want us on to talk about trans travel, that would be a topic in itself.
Awesome. Because, yeah, we have. You know, we've had Megan on before.
Yeah, going through body scanners.
Correct.
And how do you take your teeth and ID. ID.
And look,
your packing.
Exactly. Well, what to pack, you know. I've been in line in customs with a trans person, and I lost them in the queue, but they were about to go through a body scanner, and I wanted to watch and see what they were going to have to go through with the customs officials, but I didn't get to see it. But all of these things would be great on a travel show to listen to. Absolutely.
Yeah, anytime you want us in, we'll get a couple of guys and talk over that stuff, because that's awesome.
I love Joe's how to pack.
Do you actually know what packing means?
No,
yes,
me.
I do.
Okay, I would love to know.
That's another show. That might have to be after 9 p.m.
That could be while we're bringing you these messages.
We're off.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is made possible with thanks to over 300 volunteers who work hard every day of the week to keep us out, loud and proud, on air and online. This week, we'd like to thank Betty. Betty has been Joy's official photographer since 2012. In fact, she's taken a huge number of shots of us in the escape pod, hasn't she? She's just been amazing. So she takes a huge number of photos at our events, our outside broadcasts and of our interview guests. Last year, Betty was awarded the Anne Hamilton Award for Volunteering Excellence. Her commitment to Joy as a volunteer is amazing, and she is a key member of the team. It's also her birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Betty.
Absolutely. From everybody at Joy, thank you, Betty, and happy birthday. To learn more about Joy volunteer vacancies, head to joy.org.au/volunteer. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Joy 94.9. 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Melbourne's most uplifting music mix and, of course, the most uplifting dialogue in the Escape Pod. It is 21 minutes past two, and that, of course, was Donna Summer with I Feel Loved. Now, in the Escape Pod today, we've got Russ Masterton, Mark Adams, Joe Pryor, and we've got, yet again, another team of special guests. So without further ado, we would like to welcome both Marissa and Larissa. Do it in a dress. So, good God, please, tell us what this is all about. We've just done it in a shed. We're not sure if we're in a dress or not. So what are we doing now?
So Do It In A Dress is a fundraising campaign from the charity One Girl, and it's basically just a fun way of spreading awareness and raising funds for the issue of girls' education. So we're asking people to put on a school dress, pick a challenge, raise some money, and you'll help educate girls across Africa.
So who's One Girl? Tell us about them.
So One Girl's a charity based in Melbourne, and we're all about educating girls. We've got the mission to educate a million girls across Africa, and we're working currently in Sierra Leone and Uganda, two places where girls aren't given access to education. We want to fix that.
Okay, so what does that mean in the Ugandan Sierra Leonean context that girls don't get an education? What is the outcome of that lack of education?
So when girls aren't educated, there are a whole myriad of problems that are caused. So girls can be forced into child marriage, they can be forced to have children before they're ready, and they basically don't have access to choice. You know, education empowers people to make decisions and good choices for their future, and without that, they don't have that choice. So we're trying to empower them to create better futures for themselves.
And what's when the girl gets the education, what is the change in life opportunity?
The change is huge. It's immediate, but it's also, you know, into the future. So a girl is more likely to she's more likely to earn more of an income. She's more likely to be able to support her family. She's not likely to be married off as a child, and she's just more empowered to make decisions that are better for herself and better for her family.
So what's the challenge? You said do it in a dress. So we put on we do the Chrissy Amphlett thing. We've got a school dress on.
And then, sing about touching yourself.
That's right. We've got a provocative song, and it's very short. You've got stockings on, et cetera, et cetera. But what's the challenge part? What's that component?
Yeah, so this is where we want people to have fun with it. People can pick any challenge. We've had people do skydiving, climb Mount Everest, do all kinds of crazy things, but they can also do something really normal, like just go to work in a school dress or go to uni or go to class. It really doesn't matter as long as you do it in a dress. You're raising awareness and raising funds for this really important issue.
So, Marissa, have you done a challenge?
I am about to do a challenge. I have a charity party that is going to be on the 9th of October, which is a Sunday. So I'm about to, hold a very big challenge. The reason why I came on board was my daughter came home from school. They were doing it in a dress at her school, raising a $2 coin donation day.
Don't they normally wear a school dress at school?
They don't. Not at St Kilda Park Primary School, Mark.
Oh, okay.
They don't. But anyway, she came home quite disturbed and distressed that girls her age are marrying men 3 to 4 times her age and don't have any access to education. And I thought about it and thought, wow, well, you know, I want a New Year's resolution. So I found One Girl, and they're all about empowering women and about women's equality. And this was really important to me. Look, I'm a single mom and I know how hard it is, and everyone's got their story. However, I have a voice and I have a choice. And for me, it's about raising awareness that these girls need to have a voice, and education provides them a voice by giving them a choice. So I have a charity party that will be the 9th of October.
So what's a charity party? I'm just a bit naive. What's a charity party?
Well, I decided to have a bit of fun with it. So in St Kilda at Big Mouth, we have on the 9th...
It's on Ackland and Barclay there.
Yep. On the 9th of October. It'll be $65 a ticket for adults, which will include 5 basic drinks, finger food. We have some incredible dancers, which are the D Machine Dancers, and they are a youth organisation as well, and they're putting together an incredible dance. We have
so it's a rocker Stedford.
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, right here.
Silent auctions. My aim is to raise $6,000 to educate 20 girls for the year. So take
them. It's a pretty good aim, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I love it.
Great. And Larissa, have you done a challenge?
Yeah, well, last year I actually went skydiving in my dress, okay. which was terrifying.
As a tandem drive? Or a single?
Yes, I was with someone else, but it was equally terrifying.
See, I have skydived, and I don't think I could imagine doing that in my dress. I have jumped out of a plane. I know Jo is rolling her eyes in the back of her head. I have jumped out of a plane several times, but I've not done it in a frock. So I could just imagine cocking a frock jumping out of a jet. How exciting. Yeah.
Yep. It has possibilities.
I'm just daunted by the fact that these poor girls are being forced into marriage and all of these things, and the rest of the world is a little bit naive to it. And I think it's a fabulous idea, and certainly something that our community can get behind. I mean, I can't think of a gay man that wouldn't put on a frock for this very issue and host a party. What do you think, Mark? You'd be right up there, wouldn't you?
Not normally, Russ. It's not my cup of chino, but I'm sure that there are fellow brethren in our community who'd be bang up for it. But I do endorse anything that's going to help equality and take people out of a life trap of being engaged, then married, and then a child having children, which in other countries is a very compelling
Do you mean they're all doll bludgers?
No, they're not. But they are the sole caretaker of those children. There are no resources. So once you've had a child, you're compelled and you're obligated and obliged to look after that child. So talk to us about what these differences make to these women who do get an education. You were touching on it before.
Absolutely. Well, we have one girl has a range of education projects from scholarships, so taking a girl from straight through to the end of her high school.
And are the schools actually available and a girl's able to attend the schools in these countries, or are they actually closed to them?
No, they are open. They are definitely open to them. It's more there are other barriers, I guess, for girls to access education. So poverty is one of them. So many families just can't afford to send their girls to school. And if they do have the funds, they do give preference to the boys because culturally they're seen as, you know, the eventual breadwinners. They're the ones who are going to be taking care of their families financially. And so girls...
And they just keep the system the way it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why education is so important, because it empowers the next generation to then make a different choice.
And are you put in contact with these girls and you get to know them as well? And it's like a bit of a sponsor situation where you become friends and you watch girls go through school and so on?
Well, with one girl, we don't do the direct sponsorship model, but we certainly keep in contact with all the girls. So all the girls, we have over 300 scholarship girls, and we see them through to the end of their education. So we do know, you know, we keep up to date with how they're going and what's happening. And we try to make sure that that is really quite tangible for everyone who's supporting us, because we know they want to know where the money's going and they want to know it's making a difference.
Well, you're on Joy 94.9, Melbourne's most uplifting music mix.
I spy with my Vista Eye something beginning with L. LASIK.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rick Wolf. LASIK is the most popular form of vision correction, with over 31 million cases performed worldwide. 90% of Vista Eye patients have LASIK, used to treat short-sightedness, long-sightedness, and astigmatism. And with our advanced technology, LASIK can now take less than 15 minutes as an in-house procedure.
I spy with my Vista Eye, your free appointment. Phone 1800 50 50 49.
Say love's a mystery, and we think about it all the time. You can't ever force it, it's just something that you'll find. 'Cause for all your waiting, it's never where you thought it would be. Ooh. Say love's a mystery, and you're the mystery. Sleep at night when I hold you in my arms. I might sleep soundly, I might just wonder at your charms. How it ever came that one day you would find me. Mm-hmm. Love
love is a mystery, and that's the way it's meant to be. 'Cause who can know where you find the flame? Your heart gets hurt, but you try again. Down that road till they come into you. See, love's a mystery. It takes patience, it takes time. Today we might quarrel, but tomorrow we'll be fine. 'Cause you make me smile, bring out the best in me. Love is a mystery, and you're the mystery for me. This love is a mystery, and you're the mystery.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in the escape pod this afternoon, 27 minutes to 3. And that, of course, was Judith Owen with the track Mystery. And that was a request from listeners in Adelaide. Can you believe it? We get all the way to Adelaide, Mark?
I know.
Goodness gracious.
Across that continental divide of half an hour time.
I know. Even with the bad water.
I know, the floodings. cray cray.
Yes, it's been...
So who are our listeners in Adelaide?
Our listeners in Adelaide are Lance and Carol.
Thank you, Lance and Carol. And that was a beautiful track. And I'd love them to message in on Joy 94.9's many different multimedia channels of accessing us live on air. Aside from the Joy Chopper, there is a SMS line, 0427 Joy 949. You can phone us, 1300 Joy 949, or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear why that song was important to you and why that was a request.
We would, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And while they're
Thanks for listening in Adelaide.
Well, while they're on the website, the best thing they could probably do is become members.
Oh, my God,
so
that's
easy.
A great idea. How do you become a member?
Well, you just hit the I want to be a member button. And then you just add in your credit card details and it's done.
And it's not expensive. No. If you're under 18, it's only $22 a year. If you have a concession card, it's $42. Individuals are $84 a year and families are $124.
I think Lance might be a lawyer, so he might get the
That's $1,895
a year. We have a special price
for anybody entered to practice as a solicitor in Australia. Thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. And we've got an amazing crowd in the escape pod today. We have Russ Masterton, Mark Adams, Joe Pryor, and we're joined by Andre, who's just coming into the escape pod. We've got Gibson at my feet, gently snoring. And most importantly, our special guests are Marissa and Larissa, who are telling us about Do It in a Dress from the One Girl Foundation or organisation. Can you tell us a little bit more about One Girl, Marissa?
Well, for me, when I discovered One Girl, there was a whole myriad of things what I loved. They educate girls, but they also have a lot of other different facets to them. One is Launchpad, so that is help teaching women about, should I say it, menstruation.
No. And we know that they do it.
Yes. It happens.
We've heard of this.
And these poor women didn't have any access to anything to help them through that terrible time, so they weren't going to school. And
when you talk about the terrible time, you're not talking about the period. You're talking about learning about what is happening to their bodies and the changes that are involved and how to deal with menstruation.
Yeah, and the fact that they weren't going to school because of this. So One Girl put together a thing called Launchpad. So they made these biodegradable pads and sent them over. So that is now being educated to all those girls, and it's a really big deal for them. So it's been brilliant. And the next one is Business Brains. So their girls got access to Business Brains, which is teaching them how to be young entrepreneurs. So yes, they do get educated, but they'll go to the markets and teach them how to make, say, butterscotch or biscuits. And so then they can feed themselves and continue on. So One Girl is about educating and playing this out, so when they do have children, they can pass this on. So hopefully this moves on to the next step. So that was a big deal for me.
And how on earth, Larissa, did this take you to Africa?
Yeah, so I've been lucky enough to be, I've been working with one girl for about 3 years now, doing communications for them. And earlier this year, I got given the chance to actually go over to Sierra Leone to see our work firsthand, which was absolutely incredible and such a life-changing opportunity for me. Because, you know, Sierra Leone is literally on the other side of the world, and the work that we do can feel so far removed from reality here because, you know, girls here have access to everything. And as a girl myself growing up, there was never, I never felt like I missed out on anything. And so going over and seeing the reality for girls in a country like Sierra Leone was incredible.
What was your first impression when you got off the plane?
I was terrified. I'd never been to Africa before, so it was quite a first experience. And Sierra Leone is far from a tourist destination, so the airport was small and the plane was small. And I
The plane was small.
Did it have propellers?
I felt like it did. It was I'd been on a 65-hour transit, so I was also a little bit jet lagged. Yeah,
did you go around the world twice to get there?
Pretty much. It's quite far.
So what's the most direct route from here?
So I went from Australia to Dubai to Nairobi in Kenya, and then through Ghana, and then into Freetown. So it was quite a journey.
So I thought you'd be able to go direct from Dubai, but
yeah,
I guess there's just not the need for.
Well, it's not a.
There's no air, but there's no A380s going.
No,
not many people needing to turn left.
No.
Completely eye-opening, you know, seeing the work that we do firsthand and seeing the schools that we've built and the
girls through that, because a lot of people haven't been to Africa, and Sierra Leone is a country that many people will never get to experience. It's an amazing experience that you've been through. So walk us through the sights, the smells, and when you got there, and what the girls were like, and all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the first day that I was there, I actually got to meet 80 girls that we support on scholarships in one go, and it was incredible. They were all so excited. They just rushed up to me, wanted to talk to me, share their stories, and to hear how much education has changed their lives was absolutely amazing and incredible. And these girls have come through so much. So I
guess even getting to school for some of them is a distance.
Absolutely, yeah. And they might be walking, or they might be, you know, it's not like it's an easy thing to do. And I also got to visit where some of them live, and some of them live in slum communities. And for me, having grown up in Australia, I'd never seen extreme poverty firsthand. So to kind of walk through the slums and see, you know, the lack of sanitation and the lack of running water and electricity and just the challenges that people face there was eye-opening and quite confronting.
How did you look after yourself in terms of, you know, eating
health,
food and things like that, so that you didn't get sick?
Yeah, well, we were very lucky to have, we have in-country staff, and so we were always kind of looked after, and I always felt safe. I never felt unsafe, but, you know, it was easy for me, but it was also, yeah, still very confronting kind of hearing the stories and seeing where people were living and the conditions they were living in, and just made me more motivated to do the work that we do.
And so you have felt rewarded by travelling there. Has that given you a taste for travelling to African destinations? I think for the average Australian, they would travel to Africa and go to places like Kenya and to South Africa, which are very easy and safe places to travel to.
Places where Andre comes from.
Exactly. Andre's from South Africa, which is awesome. I would not know of anybody, and I'm a travel agent, that has been to Sierra Leone, and you... As a person who's just come back from there, would you go again? And aside from the reason why you were there, did you enjoy the experience as a traveller?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's certain experiences that you can only kind of get by actually going over there and meeting the people. And it was all, you know, of course, seeing the poverty and seeing the conditions, but also just the amazing culture that I was exposed to and got a glimpse of, just gave me this, you know, just desire to see more.
And how would you describe their culture?
So friendly and warm.
Great.
And welcoming. We would visit communities in rural Sierra Leone and we would be greeted by dancing and singing, and that's really the way that they welcome people. Like,
right.
Just every community we went to, we were just showered with songs and the girls couldn't wait to sing and dance for me. So I think that's a really big part of their culture is music.
That's fantastic.
As a way to welcome people and just sharing, you know, sharing stories and sharing their journeys was just a really big part of it as well. They were just so excited to share about their lives. And that openness and that welcomeness was something that I encountered, you know, everywhere I went in Sierra Leone, which was great.
So what are the problems then that come about from having a cohort of women who've become educated within a large mass who are not? I mean, how does society cope with them, and is it easy for them to have mobility in society?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are continuing challenges, and education cannot solve all of the problems, but it certainly gives them the tools to make better decisions and start the conversations that really matter. So Marissa touched on Launchpad, which is our, you know, program to do with menstrual health and hygiene. And we found that, you know, when we first brought the program into communities, men were quite resistant to it because, you know, culturally it's not okay to talk about periods. But as they saw how the women were enjoying using the pads and how it was empowering them, they actually started to open up dialogues and you know, channels for communication. So slowly we can see cultural change, but it happens, you know, one conversation at a time, one girl at a time. And that's kind of our philosophy, that change is slow, but it's happening.
And you may not know the answer to this question now, but what would happen to lesbian women over there? Are they is that taboo? Or and if you don't know the answer today, that's fine. You can come back to us with an answer. But are they acknowledged in any way and looked after as well?
Look, I'm not sure. So definitely something that I want to look into, because I know that obviously there would be some cultural challenges that they would face. Women in general face cultural problems, so I can imagine that lesbian and queer women there would also feel those things. But I'll definitely get back to you.
Oh, if you could. I think our listeners would love to hear.
Absolutely, yeah. So. It's important.
Well, Jo, are you uplifted?
That is an amazing travel experience. I'm not sure. I've got to get over that small plane first. But we are on Joy 94.9, and if we don't have Melbourne's most uplifting music mix, we have perhaps some of the most intrepid travel stories in the Escape Pod.
94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod with Russ Masterton, Mark Adams, Corey, Adrian, Joe Pryor, Gibson the Chow Chow, and that, of course, is some of our uplifting music mix. Oh. That's the Bronski Beat with Tell Me Why.
They have uplifted me throughout the decades, the Bronski Beat, I can tell you right here and right now.
Weren't they a bit of a one-hit wonder?
No, they had Hit That Perfect Beat Boy.
Oh, yes.
They had a whole heap of songs on there, so it was all absolutely fabulous.
Did they indeed? Were they still around with Molly Meldrum? Did he?
Yeah. Molly would have introduced.
He would have introed them.
Remember Jimmy
yes.
Somerville and all of those guys?
Yeah, that's
they were
right.
On there. Yeah.
Now it's all coming back to me in a rush.
The '80s. Remember the '80s, Joe?
Oh, I remember.
It was our era.
It was just like doing noughts and crosses with cocaine lines.
Oh,
wasn't it?
Gosh, you have no idea. We may not have known each other then, but I'm sure we were in the same toilet block.
Isn't it amazing how paths can cross and you don't realise it? Like jet streams in the blue sky.
I knew you from somewhere.
They all say that. Oh, you're the Joe Pryor.
Yes.
Oh, damn. Now, in the Escape Pod today, we also have Marissa and Larissa from, they're here to promote Do It in a Dress, which is an activity from One Girl. But I'm not sure, Russ, is it time for your rant? Because we did miss it last week.
Okay, I can rant. I'm happy to do so.
Well, I think maybe we can do a rant and then we might hear some travel tips about how to get through Africa.
All right. That sounds excellent. Now, look, this week there are a couple of things I'd like to talk about, Joe, if you don't mind. Now, first of all, segue here. I was walking my dog today,
yes,
Gwenny, and I didn't have a plastic bag, and someone chose to abuse me in the park for not having a plastic bag. Now, this made me go home and Google countries in the world where you don't have to pick up after your dog. Well, there aren't any. I'm here to tell you today. Now, what happens to you in Madrid is if you get caught there not picking up your doggy poo-poo, you do have to, they fine you and you have to become a street cleaner in Madrid.
For your career?
Yeah, that ends up being your career for a week. You do have to clean the streets. About the only place where I think I'd feel comfortable would be Paris. Now, they do have laws in Paris where you must clean up after your animal, but the Parisians, being as sophisticated as they are, often don't because they believe they pay their taxes and the city
should do it.
Now, I had to think hard and fast this morning, Joe.
And I have to say I've had to do that too every now and again. If there's been a third attempt at going to the bathroom,
yes,
that's meant I've had
we
to
are Richmond
look
3-1
around for a very large oak leaf.
We are Richmond 3121ers and we do clean up after our dogs.
The 3121s.
We
that's
do.
Right. So I did say to this lovely lady today who was very angry with me, I said, look, I do come down here every morning with my dog, Gwenny, and religiously clean up her poo. I would never leave it for you to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't do is I actually put myself in other people's shoes and understand that just occasionally,
yep,
they may not have a plastic bag. And you know what I also don't do, lady? I don't abuse them for that because I understand that every now and then you don't have a plastic bag.
You fly out the door.
Yeah.
So I told her to back off in more words than one, let me tell you, Joe.
That was the end of the conversation, was it?
She went off in a huff and I went and found a plastic bag and cleaned up Gwenny's mess. And
yes, there's usually something, unfortunately, there's usually something lying around that you can use.
But I couldn't let it go.
Or there's someone else that you can say, hey, can I have a spare?
I couldn't let it go until I got in here. I had to share it.
No, it's a great, great topic.
Yeah.
In the USA, they have little, they have, y'all have the little poles, and then you can just grab the individual plastic bags.
Sometimes they're not in every park, though, and sometimes they're empty.
What? That's never happened.
Now, useful information. I have the top 10 things here that people steal from hotels.
Okay.
Now,
is this from a particular hotel chain?
No, just any hotel, right? You're going to love these. I was amused by the number one thing that people steal from hotels is the Bible.
Get out.
Can you believe that? I have no idea. I thought it would have been towels or bathrobes or slippers, but how we got to the Bible, I have no idea.
It's for rolling papers, Russ.
Oh, of course, rolling papers. What a good idea!
It's for when you—it's for when you forget a bag.
Yeah. Now the other thing that—that's right. Use the Bible to pick up after Gwenny. The other thing that I was really fascinated by this, and this I had to sit down for because I was laughing my head off. People steal artwork now.
Yes, they do.
This is all very new
and
to me.
Also I mean, leave messages on the back of artwork too.
Well, this is all very new to me because I'm going away, as you know, soon. Now, I thought I might just poke my little head into the, you know, the Borghese Gallery or something like that, and just pop a nice little statuette in my suitcase and bring it home. What do you think?
I think you'd get caught.
Yeah, they'll charge you. Okay. Right? They'll charge your card, no?
I know. Go a great big piece of art off a wall and you just slip it into your suitcase and take it home.
People are bizarre, though.
They are. What would you steal from a hotel, Jo?
I have stolen an ashtray.
Have you? Mm. For your cigars.
I did. I stole an ashtray, yeah. That's about it, though.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Well, I need towels, so I would steal towels.
Come on, Mark.
Head waiter. You stole the head waiter? I am loving your work. We need to talk after the show.
That's easy.
I need travel tips, big time. Speaking of travel tips.
Yes, come on.
Have our girls got travel tips today? You both have travelled, you to a fantastic African country. What did you pack when you went there?
Pack really light.
Yes.
Because you're going to be on several planes and it's going to be a 65-hour transit, so you don't want to be lugging heavy, heavy bags. My other travel tip would be go to the doctor and make sure you get all of your shots because you can't. A lot of African countries you actually can't get in if you don't have your fever shots.
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. So travel light.
Travel light, get your shots.
And get your shots. What would you travel on your next trip? What would you pack that you just can't do without?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I'd love to pack Gibson, but I'm not allowed to.
Oh.
So he's got to stay behind. I think what I travel with always is a hat.
A
big broad-brim hat, particularly because I'm usually going somewhere where it's going to be warmer.
Yes.
And I pack that into my suitcase first, and I put all of my jewellery into the crown of the hat.
Yeah.
And then I pack all of my other things around it, and I put some dry cleaner plastic over the hat, and then I just, you know, roll everything around it. So I can come out with an Audrey Hepburn-style
hat.
With ease.
How?
But the trick is to pack it in the bag and make sure you know, you put your jewellery or your socks or something. Oh, I don't wear
glamorous
socks, but whatever. I
can see you in New York. I can see you in London. Audrey Hepburn, eat your heart out.
Yeah, you always need a big hat.
You're fabulous. I'm going to some messages on that note.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Escape Pod. It is 2:02, and we would very much like to thank Andrew, who came in today to talk about trans issues and how they can be helped with the Movember Foundation. That was absolutely terrific. So we're looking forward to having Andrew come back and tell us all how the September party went. And we've had both Larissa and Marissa talking about Do It in a Dress. Before you ladies leave, is there a time limit for Do It in a Dress? Do people have to get onto a website and sign up for their event or their challenge?
Onto the website, doitinadress.com, sign up and create a challenge. And Marissa's got her fabulous event happening on October 9th. So
you should look out for people, you know, leaning on you for a few extra dollars during October.
Absolutely. Well, throw some dollars their way.
It's a very good
girls.
I'm going to do it in a dress.
Excellent.
You'll have to come along to our party, Russ. I'd love to see you in a dress.
I'll be down there. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. Well, the most important thing is don't leave Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.